Next year, East Timor celebrates 10 years of independence, and it's fair to say that as it approaches its first decade as a nation, the challenges have been great. Earlier this year, East Timor released its National Development Plan. It's a 20-year roadmap laying out the country's goals and aspirations. And amongst other things, the plan calls for its economic transformation from a low-income country. Many observers say the targets that Timor has set itself are sometimes unrealistic and create disappointment and mistrust when they fail to bear fruit. Mike Woods reports.
East Timor is one of the world's newest states and also one of its poorest. 9 years after independence, many Timorese had expected to be living in a more prosperous, advanced state. Many believed that with democracy would come not only freedom, but greater personal wealth, better health, and education. A nationwide survey conducted by the international peace-building organisation Interpeace and the East Timorese NGO, the Centre for Peace and Development, or CPAD, shows that many East Timorese expected more to come from independence and at a faster pace. Wow Balvida is the executive director of CPAD in Dili.
So what they basically said is that we are very happy now that we have achieved our political independence after having fought for more than two decades, during which we had built up great expectations, and we had dreamed of, you know, having a new pair of shoes, a new roof over us, and access to schools and education, all that stuff. But in fact, after 8 years of independence, that dream still remains a dream. And that the very challenge that we, the Timorese people, are trying to address so that the political independence, in fact, brings true economic and social benefit to those people who barely deserve it.
Dr. Helen Hill is a lecturer in international development and an East Timor specialist at Victoria University in Melbourne. She says when countries are struggling for self-determination, there is often a belief that once it's achieved, all problems will be answered.
There's always the struggle against hunger and against illiteracy and for building institutions that people don't recognise will be coming when they're struggling for their independence. And I know that this is one of the things that dawned on people actually shortly after independence, that some of the dissatisfactions with the first government came about because there were very high expectations.
The national survey carried out in East Timor also found that there was general confusion about the concept of democracy itself and what it could deliver. CPAD Executive Director Wow Balvida.
So what they're saying is that democracy, in fact, as a political system, has not brought through the social and economic benefits that they had expected while they were back in the times of resistance. So, in other words, that our leaders have yet to use democracy and the current political system to be able to stand and deliver the results and outcomes that these people need to experience. And therefore, we still have several challenges which need to be addressed in a comprehensive manner.
Victoria University's Dr. Helen Hill says she was not surprised at those findings.
No, not at all, because I remember being there just before the independence and some people having this belief that democracy meant you could do anything, you could do what you liked. And of course, it always takes a long time for countries to learn about democratic practices. But in many ways, I think Timor hasn't done too badly, given that they've got a very strong civil society and some very good non-governmental organisations who are in the monitoring and advocacy field. And on women's rights, for example, they've done extremely well.
Many Timorese surveyed said they believed one of the greatest hindrances to the consolidation of democracy in the country was political elitism. Many complained that they had no say in the decision-making process except at election time. The survey showed that many Timorese felt disengaged, which had led to a degree of mistrust in the government and its leadership. Wael Bauvida again.
The people think that the political process has to be inclusive, broad-based and locally paced, meaning whatever political process that is has to also reflect local context and local realities.
So as East Timor approaches its 10th year of independence, how is its report card looking? Dr. Helen Hill again.
Look, it's patchy. There have been some great areas of success, such as in the health field. They're beginning to bring down maternal mortality and raise life expectancy and women's survival and children's survival. Education is good on the grassroots. I think because of the Millennium Development Goals, the Timorese government and donors have started building up basic education.
Oh, finally, Helen, how is Timor economically?
Well, I mean, if you look at the figures, of course, it does very well because of the money coming in from the petroleum. But the reality is there's a great deal more needs to be done to develop the non-oil economy because that's where the jobs are. And, you know, building an internal food market, building a road system, and more importantly, putting public transport on that road system and building some of the so-called knowledge infrastructure needed. Post office isn't really working yet, so that all of these things that connect people and ideas, you know, that is really the big area to be worked on, I think.
Dr. Helen Hill, lecturer in international development and a specialist on East Timor at Victoria University in Melbourne. Mike Woods with that report.